All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Hey, this is Joe Bartnick from Puck Off, and you're listening to Story Worthy.
Welcome to the Story Worthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Story Worthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we are broadcasting you from the Avalon Ballroom in San Francisco, California.
Yay!
The site of two, not one, but two Grateful Dead live albums.
You know, it's so interesting that we have not talked about the Grateful Dead yet on this show.
That is amazing, because you are an old pothead hippie from way back.
Well, I wouldn't come right out of the show and say that, Hannes.
I would.
Well, no.
Listen, we're not really recording. This is an intervention.
No, you know, in fact, I have been to five Grateful Dead shows, but really I only went into two of them.
Didn't make it all the way,
You don't really need to go into the show. You just want to be outside in the environment and watch the people, and then you hear things like peanut butter banana pickle sandwiches.
Now, I'm thinking by environment, you mean a haze of skunk-smelling smoke makes you high just from the contact.
You know what would be so great about a Grateful Dead show now? If only Jerry Garcia could come back.
Well, yeah, there'd be dead people in it who were reanimated. That would be awesome.
We could all be smoking e-cigarettes, which is all vapor, and there's no problem. There are no more of the burning, no more of the heat. This is all vapor. It comes from marijuana oils and waxes. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the future, is what it is.
So you're saying that you can smoke the essence of weedness through a vapor cigarette?
Yeah, of course.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
All right. So
I would like a chocolate, maybe a s'more flavored vapor. Is there that?
All right, you guys, look, here's who we have to thank. Joe Bartnick. Joe Bartnick is here right now. Joe Bartnick is here right now, and he brings forth the title.
Is he from Philadelphia?
He's not from Philadelphia.
Is he from Reading?
He's not from Reading. He is from the Keystone State, my hometown, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Anyway, we can thank him for bringing forth the title, The Grateful Dead. And I am excited to talk about them. You know, Hannes, The Grateful Dead, there's so much to say. But one of the things that is most amazing about The Grateful Dead is that they played over 2,300 concerts.
And remembered five of them.
And that's like saying, if you played 1,000 concerts, that would be a phenomenal amount of concerts. And then they played twice that many and more than that.
See, The Grateful Dead is one of those things that I've been my whole life.
Yeah.
Grateful Dead, and I could never name a single song.
Oh, really?
Sugar Magnolia. Sure,
you could say that.
Say what?
You'd say Sugar Magnolia, right?
I have no idea what that song
is. Come on. You would say Casey Jones, right?
No, I don't. I'm sure that if you played it, I might go, oh, I've heard that on the radio, but I have no. Like you're saying these titles, I don't know what these songs are.
I see. Well, what if you would see the three dancing bears? The bears that are, they're actually not dancing, they're marching. They're marching is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like a high-stepping march. That's like their emblem. What if you saw that?
No.
That would not do anything
Nothing.
For you.
Nothing.
What if you saw like two turtles together?
Fucking?
Like from Terrapin Station. That wouldn't, nothing?
No, nothing. No, I think, yeah, this is a very, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's like opera or something. It's like either you're into it or you're not into it.
Yeah, I see.
You know it or you don't know it.
Well, let me tell you this. I did find out that the name The Grateful Dead was chosen from a dictionary.
Just that random, like,
randomly.
Two words?
Randomly. According to Phil Lesh, one of the members, in his autobiography, Jerry Garcia picked up an old Britannica World Language Dictionary, and he said, hey, man, how about The Grateful Dead? And the definition was there. It said, the soul of a dead person or his angel showing gratitude to someone who, as an act of charity, arranged their burial.
Nice. I like
so
that.
How about
actually,
that?
That's
I like
good.
It too. Right?
But yeah. Now, wait. Can I just ask you personally? I want to know, where were these concerts that you went? Where you actually went inside? Where did you see the Grateful Dead?
I've seen them every time I've seen them was in Pittsburgh when they'd come through. And you know, in Pittsburgh, growing up, you know, if a show's coming to town, I mean, it's such a big fucking deal for months ahead of time because first of all, there's nothing else going on.
Yeah.
And they're going to only come once a year, so the Grateful Dead's coming to the Civic Arena. We're there. We're going to be there. And I went to school at Duquesne right downtown, so that was kind of like my campus kind of flowed right into the parking lot of the Civic Arena.
It just sounds like a threat. Listen, give us the information or you're going to watch the Grateful Dead at the Civic Arena. This is what I hear.
I would see them out at Star Lake Amphitheater, which I think that they changed the name of that as well. But anyway.
Star Lake Amphitheater? I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Star
Lake Amphitheater in Pittsburgh,
venue. It was never out here. It was never in California.
No, never in California. This was more in the mid-80s. Once out at the Star Wood Amphitheater, the fans like completely rolled over the barricades. The fences went down. So yeah. There were no more tickets involved. Just everybody came. So instead of holding, 15,000 people, there were 35,000 people there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Here's something I also learned about the Grateful Dead. Would you like to hear some of the celebrity deadheads?
Sure. I would. Wait, let me see if I can guess any of them. Okay, so they have to be celebrities who like pot, right?
No.
I don't
know why you keep putting that together. I don't.
Why would I associate the Grateful Dead with marijuana?
Okay,
what kind of psychotic break have I had to come up with that
kind of... Let's go from the top. Bill Clinton.
Okay, see, there
see,
you go.
There you go.
You think that guy doesn't smoke weed every single day
but now
while he plays with
him,
himself?
Nancy Pelosi. But now,
she's from San Francisco. You know what? I say she's a poser. She wanted to be elected in San Francisco, and she's just pretending.
Okay, now this is creepy. Ann Coulter.
Oh, well, she's a...
Ann Coulter is a deadhead.
Yeah, no, she's actually just dead. They misread it.
Okay, Whoopi Goldberg. I believe that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Pete Carroll, Al Franken, Adam Scott. All right, goes on and on.
That all checks out. Potheads, everyone.
Anyway, the Grateful Dead, they performed, as you may or may not know, Hannes, in the Monterey Pop Festival.
Let's just assume I don't know.
They were in Monterey. They were at Woodstock, of course. And then the largest concert they ever played was in 1973 with the Allman Brothers before over 600,000 people in England. Can you imagine? 600,000 people.
That was just, I think they just like landed in a town. And there were people around, like, they were at the concert against their will.
Yeah.
They, like, didn't know they were part of a concert. It's like, what's going on?
I don't know.
He said in his bad English accent.
You know what interesting, though, the Grateful Dead, they would do is they would always provide an area where people could film the concert. So, therefore, there is images of, like, every concert they've ever done.
Yeah, wait.
They would always make sure there was space for fans with video cameras.
Yeah, I have a vague idea that there was always, like, a lot of bootlegs of... Grateful Dead concerts, but they weren't bootlegs because there were so many of them, or they allowed it, or something like that.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, maybe we'll get some more clarity with our guest Joe Martinick.
Clarity and the Grateful Dead are two words that usually don't go together, but in this case,
that's right.
Hey, our eyes will be crystal clear.
I also wanted to mention, you guys, that you can now listen to Storyworthy on the Swell Radio app.
This is brand new, people.
It is brand new. Swell is like a Pandora for podcasts. Now you don't have to make decisions about what to listen to. Swell figures it out for you, and it's available now free on the iPhone, and it's coming soon to Android in early 2014. So you can learn more, folks, at Swell.am and Storyworthy. We'll see you there.
That's swell.am.
All right, you guys. So wherever you are, stay tuned because Joe Bartnick is on his way here.
Hey, it's Kira Soltanovich. And yes, it's true. You're listening to Storyworthy. And guess what? So am I. I'm in the future.
And we're back. We have left the Avalon Ballroom, and we're in a marijuana dispensary down the on Polk Street here in San Francisco. And let me just say, it is some good shit, ladies and gentlemen. It is vapor fantastic.
I don't think that goes together, hon. It's vapor fantastic.
No, that's the name of my new band. I took it out of. I opened the Oxford Dictionary, and it said Vapor Fantastic, and I went, that is the name of my new band.
All right, you guys.
Me and Kanye West are going to put together a thing.
Joe Bartnick is here right now. Joe is a writer and a comedian, and for the last couple of years, he's been traveling and opening for Lisa Lampanelli.
I love Lisa Lampanelli.
I do, too. Joe has written on many television projects, including the ESPYs and the NFL on Fox, and currently, he is the co-host of the very popular hockey podcast, Puck Off. It's a brand new show, Hannes.
It's like a pun.
And most importantly, Joe was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yeah. And I know this. I know this. He drinks Crown Royal. You can find him at joebartnick.com and on Twitter, follow him at Joe Bartnick. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Joe Bartnick.
Thank you. Thank you. That was amazing. That was an amazing intro. That was great. I do drink Crown Royal and a lot of it. I should be the spokesman. My wife always said, you know the Southern Comfort guy that walked on the beach in the Speedo? That's me, but with Crown Royal. I felt like I got ripped off, like someone stole my character. Just out-of-shape guy who doesn't care, enjoying himself. Dogs love him. Okay, well, back in my youth, or, you know, I was older cat, whatever, I used to go see the Grateful Dead. And I used to not drive because Lord knows I've had some problems driving the Grateful Dead shows. So usually people just say, hey, sit in the car. We'll get you there. So one Saturday morning, got nice and baked, just did like 10 bong hits and got in the car. And I'm a really good driver as far as like, I mean, even when I was doing comedy, I could leave Seattle like, you know, after a late show Saturday and get to the show Sunday at the Punchline and do it and never take a nap or anything. Like, I can drive forever, but I'm a terrible passenger. So Pittsburgh is like maybe 4 hours away from Buffalo. So I literally like once I was probably like still in the city of Pittsburgh and I was already like passed out snoring and I was asleep. So woke up 4 hours later in Buffalo at Rich Stadium. Now, if you're around Buffalo, you know, there's nothing around Rich Stadium. It's not like in a city. It's like in a cow pasture. Like there's cows in Buffalo. I guess that's why they're called the Bills. I think Bills are Buffaloes, right? But it's the middle of literally it's like a cow pasture. And we were kind of late. So it was like, okay, well, I guess we'll set up the tent here. Because that's what you do for dead shows. You don't get a hotel room. You get a tent. Because we're cheap, or you just sleep in the car, or as I used to say, where are you staying? Up. But we did actually put the tent together, and then I still usually like to have a nice bearing. You know, nowadays you like put it in your cell phone, like, oh, we're in lot C45. But literally, what could I say? Oh, we're next to the tree. I actually got lost at the Rose Bowl because it's dark. You park in the daytime and come out and it's dark. I'm just bad with finding my car, but that's a whole nother story. I actually parked one time. I did a celebrity poker tournament, but I had a white rent-a-car at a casino, and it was such a cheap rent-a-car that it didn't have the buzzer. So I had to walk around like on no sleep for 2 days and try to find a white little rent-a-car among like 5,000 Asian people's white little cars. It was one of the worst 3 hours of my life. I almost broke down and cried like had a mental breakdown. Like, no! But I found it. Oh, God, I was tired today. Anyway, back to the dead. So I'm getting Buffalo, and literally I'm walking around. Oh, anyway, it's like, oh, we put the tent up. Okay, God, we're going to go to the show. And as Christine was saying, you might have heard, like, half the fun is the parking lot. Or the field or wherever, like just around, they call it Shakedown Street. But I never even really got to experience that or think about that. Because it was like, oh my God, I'm going to be late for the show. And as I'm walking up, and we had not procured our LSD, which I used to do at that time, yet. Yeah, because people say, oh, you do mushrooms? I don't do mushrooms because I don't like going to the airport and not getting on the plane. And to me, mushrooms are just kind of like going to the airport. No, when I want to get on the plane and go somewhere, come back, see Jerry, wave to Jimi Hendrix, maybe, you know, be in heaven, and then come on back. The problem with some people with LSD is they don't take the return trip. And they're still stuck on Venice Beach or Haight Street or in the 70s, wherever they may be, probably in the ether in this podcast. Anyway, so I get out, and just literally, I think this beautiful girl just realized what was on my mind. She's like, do you want any acid? I'm like, well, yes, I do. And it was liquid, and it wasn't – you know, they used to have the little tabs or the little pills or like the little piece of paper to make you gag because I was never a paper eater unless it had acid on it. So she poured it into my hand, and it was like a puddle in my hand that actually like kind of burned my hand. It was like – it was just strong. And I put it on my face, and like it burned my face like kind of like strong mouthwash. And then I was gone on an incredible ride. And we went to the show, and my roommate, we saw like five songs together. And then he's like, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, okay, cool, man. And then I'll be here. And then he turned and saw me, and he said he knew the next time he saw me, I'd be coming back in a police car. Just the look in my eye. So as show's going along, the show's going along cool. Great. I mean, it was an awesome show. And then they have a song called He's Gone. And in that song, the lyrics are, which is kind of a famous Dead little line. The Dead has so many iconic things and symbols. It's like its whole little church in a way. But that's where they get the whole steal your face right off your head. So steal your face. That's kind of their little symbol, steal your face. So in that song, I was tripping, hallucinating that Jerry kind of had like a Stretch Armstrong or like Plastic Man arm and came out. And you know those like big pencils used to get like at King's Island or SeaWorld or wherever that had like the name like, oh, SeaWorld. It's a big pencil you can't actually write with. I saw him come out and just like erase my head. And I'm just like, yeah, baby. So then the show was a fantastic show, just a fantastic show. And then I think I said it five times now. You can edit that out in post. anyway, so then after that, I'm like, wow. But you're not even thinking like, you know, think, you know, just like, kind of, I mean, I've left probably every, hell, I leave shopping centers not really knowing where my car's at. Just kind of go with the karma of, oh, we'll find it. So I just kind of left, you know, like, oh, you know, like, oh, great, Sherman's having fun. Like, hey, I'll find the car. I'm not really worried about it. End up meeting a girl, and it was really awesome. So we're partying, smoking some joints, and I had some weed. And we bought like the dollar beers in the parking lot. We're hanging out. We ended up like a couple hours later, like going back to our tent and screwing around a little bit. And then after that, it was, you know, like 4:35 in the morning. It's like, yeah, it's time to go. I'm not marrying the girl. So get up and left. And I'm walking around and I'm like, you know what? Like, I still have no idea where I'm going. So then I'm really walking around. I'm like, man, everything really looks the same. Like, I have no idea. So then I realized that there's really no more deadheads going around anywhere. Like, deadheads usually can take over a town or a city where it's just like deadheads. There's really no one around, except now there's just kind of just like regular people driving around. Now the sun's coming up and like cops. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm a streetwise kid. I just took my bowl and I took the rest of my little bit of weed and I just threw it down the sewer. I'm like, if I get picked up, I'm not going to get picked up. Because it's not California. Oh, that's okay. Especially in the 80s in Buffalo. You know, I'd probably be at Rikers. So they come up. They were cool. They're like, hey, where are you going? I'm like, you know, I don't really know. Like, well, what do you mean you don't know? Well, I have no idea where my car's at. And they're like, well, what do you mean you have no idea? I'm like, it's kind of by a lake. But I can't find the lake at all. And they're like, oh. And I knew the only way out was really with the police. I mean, it was actually a protect and serve because, I mean, like, if they arrested me, it was, like, cool because I will never find my car. I could walk. I'd still be walking around looking for my car. So I just kind of threw my hat in that ring. And he's like, well, are you on anything? You know, you have anything with you? Anything? Like, anything sharp in your pocket? You know, the whole getting arrested, you know, that whole thing. And they're like, no, I'm cool, man. They go, well, what's wrong with you? I go, well, I'll tell you the truth. I go, I took acid, like, 12 hours ago. But I'm not even tripping. I just don't know where my car's at. And they're like, okay, well, you need to come with us, and then we'll help you find your car. Now, that just sounds like, really? And they go, and he goes, no. He's like, I promise you I'll help you find your car. I know where your car's at, but you have to come with us first. I'm like, okay. I actually sat, and it was a canine car. I mean, they ended up, you know, I was only game in town at, you know, 6:30 in the morning. So there was like 10 cops to pick from. But I picked the cop, the nice cop with the dog. So the dog sat in the back seat, and I sat in the front seat with the cop. So I got to ride down to whatever the Rich Station Buffalo Police Department, and they brought me inside, and then they go, we're going to give you like five or six acid tests. And like kind of, I was like an experiment kind of, you know, like, you know, like they used to do at Stanford, and they just wanted to see what the effects of LSD did to me. And then they goes, then I guarantee we'll help you find your car. So then I wasn't annoyed, but I'm like, I don't know. This is looking, now I'm thinking, well, this is really stupid, but I really had no other choice. It was my fault. So they started doing like looking in my eyes like a doctor. And these aren't doctors, they're like cops, just like looking in my eyes, putting the light flashlights and doing other little things to me. Not like bad things, but like, you know, just like reflexes and stuff like that, and asking me questions. And then the final thing they said to me was, okay, now can you shut your eyes and tell us when it's 2 minutes? So I was like, okay. At this point, I was kind of like, you know, F these pigs. I'm going to sit here forever. So I sat what I thought for sure, like one of them was just going to kick me. She's like, you've been here for a half an hour, you asshole, you know? And I sat there for what I thought was infinity. Yeah. Like I ran 5 Dead shows through in my head. I did everything in my – I ran like, you know, I whatever movie. Like I did National Lampoon's Vacation like in my head 4 times. And then literally I opened my eyes and I'm like, what was that, with a big smile on my face? And the guy goes, that was 17 seconds. I'm like, okay. And he goes, okay, well, we're done. We'll take you back to your car. And literally got in the cop car. Woo. He didn't put the lights on. Excuse my horrible sound effects. Can we edit that out too? Got there, and literally it was like, it was right by the lake. Boom. My roommate was standing there by a fire having a beer. And there's like maybe 2 other people that were like wondering what the hell happened to me. And then so Andy goes, I knew you were coming back in a cop car.
A great story.
That is an awesome story. Because really? It's a, well, yeah, because for one thing, it's like at the cops, and then it takes the turn where they're just like, you know what, we have a lab rat here.
Yeah.
And just for our own amusement, we need to know what acid does to people. So let's,
well, because they could, because they've got a town of deadheads and they knew they had that power. They could just take them.
Yeah, but they didn't screw with him. They didn't arrest him. They didn't sodomize him with a broom. Yeah, that's what I was.
Thank God.
You think?
Yeah.
No, wait. Did you go to the show? You never went to the show.
Oh yeah, I was in the show. Yeah, I was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
So wait. So when did your friends woke you up in the morning? You to go to the show. You went to the show.
Yeah.
When was the show? That afternoon.
That night.
That night.
I woke up in Pittsburgh. I got super high. Napped the whole way, woke up in a grassy field in Buffalo.
Right.
Then ate a bunch of acid.
Right.
And then went inside and saw a show, then came out and partied and had no idea.
And that's when the trouble started.
Right, and you came out of the girl's apartment, who I'm sure whose name you do not. Their tent, I'm sorry. I
mean, yes.
It's like, yeah. And then you're like, okay, now I'm doing the walk of shame, but I don't know where I'm walking.
Right.
Yes.
Well, it's not even a walk of shame.
No,
it's like it's a happy walk.
No, I wouldn't think he's ashamed at all.
That's what the straights call it. That's what the squares call it. You call it a walk of pride.
That's what girls call it.
So how many times have you dropped acid?
A couple. I'd say maybe 150 times.
That sounds like a lot.
But that was a big leap there from a couple.
No, I was going to say a couple hundred.
Then
a couple hundred. Yeah. And so how many times have you seen the dead?
40, 50.
Okay. So you're a real fan.
Yeah, I'm a real fan, but I haven't like gone ever like the whole summer in the same car around. Like I'd always pick my spots.
You didn't go around like selling things, because people follow them for months.
Yeah.
Would follow them months and years.
Decades. No, I would just go like, say they'd be in California before I moved out here. I'd come out here and do like the 3 shows at Shoreline in a row.
Yeah, right.
Or go like to the Giant Stadium 2 in a row. Or
that's a lot of fun, man. Right?
Oh, it's
and so
it's
that
awesome.
Band started in 1965, and then Jerry Garcia died in 1995. Right? So it's a 30-year career.
And he died in 1995. Okay,
1995, or was it 1996?
Was that long ago?
Yeah, it was that long ago. Of course, I thought it was.
I didn't even know he made it to 1995. I thought it was. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to fact check.
No.
I just saw the remembrance of the dead called Further at the Greek like last month.
I was going to ask you. Do you follow Further? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Because the music's still great. And I'll follow.
Father.
I'll follow the two guys that are the young guys that replaced the keyboarder, who's always replaceable.
Bob Weir, you mean?
And then, I know Bob Weir's the other guitar player.
So Phil Lesh.
No, Phil Lesh played bass.
Okay.
But the keyboard player is kind of a running joke. Like the keyboard player changes every 5 years. He usually dies of some...
Yeah,
like in Spinal Tap, he just explodes
spontaneously, combusted.
Yeah, it's always a drug thing. But the guy that played Jerry, he used to be in like a Grateful Dead cover band.
Uh-huh.
So he's really good.
Yeah, I
And
bet.
I'll go see them guys play, like, you know, with the El Rey or something for the rest of my life.
What a blast.
Well, I was just wondering, you were, like, with the pot and the acid. Wow, do I sound old. It's like I have the feeling you could go to the field and then they would just play a record, and it would have been like, hey, they're great. It's like there are many people there who would not even notice that the band wasn't even there. Does that make any sense?
I think that's not true at a dead show, because people are really into the music itself, don't you think?
Or Well, you know, I think there's a lot of things. I mean, you said earlier, some people just go for the parking lot scene. Yeah.
Right.
I like the Dead's music a lot. I don't like some of the spacier stuff. I'm not as into. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of just a bluesy American roots rock and roll band. Mm-hmm. And that's the part I really, really like. When it gets real jazzy and avant-garde and spacey, unless I'm really tripping,
I don't really
like it. Let's say now, like, I have tons of CDs and stuff. Listen, like, I only listen to, like, the
songs, shorter songs.
Yeah,
you're not into the long musical improvisation.
Yeah, exactly. I like the cowboy tunes.
And the psychedelia. It was like psychedelia. Is that what it was called? They would play that. Is that what it was called? Psychedelia? I agree with you. I was more into, like, the folky stuff, almost the country stuff, the reggae stuff.
Exactly.
More the songs
like American Beauty. It's like, mm-hmm, all those songs are great.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Fantastic.
Jazz seems to me like one of those things that we're supposed to like, and we often don't.
Well, that if you're into jazz, you would, of course, never say that, because it's a whole different
I know,
path.
But I have yet to meet an actual person.
Talk to Matt. You know, Matt my ex,
that's
was
true.
A huge jazz guy.
And that was the primary problem in your marriage, is you
much.
Did not get into jazz. By the way,
jazz is really, like, hard to comprehend live half the time. When I worked for Bill Graham, we'd have jazz shows, and other than, like, the Kansas City movie All-Stars that were really just, like, woo, I can't do sound effects, but we're just like the uppity jazz, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just that slow, like, you know, the slow heroin jazz, really live is really just like watching
paint
dry.
You literally have to be a heroin or
But at home, like, it's great to put on just like Miles Davis and just relax.
Speaking of which,
you know what I mean?
His autobiography, the biography of Miles Davis, Miles, is just fantastic.
Oh, it has to be.
Oh my gosh, what a story! One more question: when the cops said to you, you know, or why did you bring forth the information? You know, to tell you the truth, I did acid 12 hours ago.
Well, because from what I found out with cops, and you know, Pittsburgh cops, like, they are East Coast cops in general. If you're cool and straight with them, they're cool and straight with you. I mean, there's no one's going to lose their car because they're just that stupid.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? You have to be doing something.
Yeah, right. It's like, look,
that's why I didn't have anything on me. So it was
right.
Like, I might as well just say.
He's looking at you like, listen,
they're not
son, I know that there's a Grateful Dead concert in town. I know you're on something. I knew you were at the concert. If you insult my intelligence by lying to me, then you piss me off and I put you in the system.
Yeah.
If you give me the info, you know.
Does anybody
like,
out there know why rental cars are always white? What is that?
Because you don't have to wash white cars as often. They appear to be cleaner.
Oh,
this
wow,
is why
that
people
is
get
a
white.
Truly
that was a
intelligent
quick
answer.
That was, I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's why you never see, like, dark. There's no, like, black rental cars, because black cars always look filthy, even if they've only spent one day
Hannes
gathering
Finney,
dust.
Ladies and gentlemen.
By
Hannes
the way, as long as we're doing a fact, Jerry Garcia died August 9th, 1985. And
no,
it's
not
Christine. 95. Christine for the win.
Thank you.
You know
so
how
much.
Old he was? 53.
Phew, that's young.
That is depressing.
Wow, that is young. Okay, Joe Bartnick, let's switch gears. I want to ask you about your new show, Puck Off.
Okay.
Puck Off.
It's a podcast about hockey.
Yes.
Is it for anybody besides hockey lovers?
Yes, we try to make it for everybody. And I think it's been, it's almost not enough hockey for me personally. Like, I love, because I can talk hockey forever.
Right.
And I love it. So we actually make it so that anyone can listen and enjoy it.
Okay.
Because we always just get comedians or actors that are just regular people and not regular people, but they're fans of the game. And we just always talk about their favorite team or what's going on. And Frazier Smith is my co-host. And as you, Frazier, great guy. And he always just asks, he's been a radio legend forever. So he knows the perfect question to ask to keep it light.
So you guys are a good team. You're
bringing a lot
of the comedy.
I think so. I hope so.
Right. Good. Good. And you are a Penguins fan.
Yes.
Of course.
100%.
And is the Penguins Flyer feud, how real is that?
Oh, it's pure hatred.
It's pure energy.
even when they do NHL rivalries, it's like nothing. The network always tries to build up the Penguins versus this team or Penguins versus Washington. There's really only one rivalry that matters in Pittsburgh, and that's the Flyers.
Yeah. I think that's true. No, it's like I have that from childhood. We used to go to games all the time in Pittsburgh. We would go because I went to Duquesne. Did you go to school in Pittsburgh?
I went to Pitt for a glorious semester and a half.
And then you spent too much
time.
You did
all the acid on campus and left.
Yeah.
Did you used to go to the O?
Yes, the O.
Get O fries?
Yeah, O fries. Yeah. O fries. Permane's. My roommate worked at Permane's, the one in Oakland.
Yeah,
the
I
only
love
other,
that one.
The only other real one.
Yeah,
the rest
I
of them
love
are just kind of depressing suburban crap.
Well, and you know, now it's a chain. Outback Steakhouse bought Permane's. And Permane's is going to be all across
I've never even
the
been
country.
To Permane's, and I know that that's depressing.
Yeah, it's going to be all across the entire country.
Oh.
Okay, well, let's get back to Puck Off. Let me ask you this. Okay, because I don't get hockey as well as I get football, right? I just don't. I don't, you know, maybe it's because I'm a woman, or maybe it's like the fighting aspect or whatever. And
is that really a turn off the fighting?
Well, you know, I don't know. Okay. A couple of questions. The players are bigger and they're stronger than ever before. Is this not true?
Yo, 100% true.
They're big and they're strong.
Yes.
And they're giving each other concussions at times.
Yes.
Okay.
But I, you know, the concussion epidemic, I think, in every sport is kind of made up in our litigious new age society. Because I think everyone, I mean, in grade school, we used to play football, it used to be called your bell rung and get back in there, you puss. And now all of a sudden it's a concussion and people need to take 3 months off.
But there's a very real aspect to that. I mean, there's medical proof.
Oh, I completely agree with you.
Right.
But I'm just saying that I think it was just so many concussions when.
Oh, I see. In other words,
there aren't more concussions. There are more concussions
that we know
recognized
that are being reported.
I understand. Yeah. So shouldn't they penalize the players that instigate the fight? Because to me, it seems like there's a bullying aspect that goes on in hockey. I've seen quite a few Kings games because my sister-in-law is works for the Kings.
Okay.
And so I've had the
pleasure.
She'll say to me, why do you have that stack of magazines with you? And I'm like, oh, nothing. I don't have any magazines with me to watch or to look at while I watch the game.
Are you going magazines? To hockey in 1958? Don't you have an iPhone you can pretend you're looking up scores on?
Anyway.
There was a famous story. Our one neighbor lady, her son went to go to the her son was like an older guy, but he loved hockey. So she took her son to the game for like his birthday.
Right.
You know, like a Pittsburgh thing where the guy's 25 and still lives at home. Because, you know, his father's
dead. Every guy in Pittsburgh lives with their mom. Right. I know. My brother lives with my mom.
Exactly. So she went, she brought her knitting.
Right.
Yeah, hot.
That's not bad.
I mean, this is like in the 70s when they were blue and were terrible. It's not like now, oh, we went and saw Crosby and Malkin. It was amazing. She left with season tickets.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't been to a game, honest, in 2 years or so. So, you know, I haven't been lately.
I have to admit, I've never been to a live hockey game, and I've never sat through an entire one on television. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, well, let me ask
Hockey's not
Joe
my
this.
Thing. It's like, so, I'm Packers football. That's all I am.
But I just want to ask you, so what about, like, the idea of the bullying in hockey, and shouldn't they be penalizing the people that seem to be instigating the fights that aren't necessarily in the fights?
Technically, they do. It's called a two-minute instigator.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's like the problem is that they do have that penalty, and you can't. They're not that penalty. The problem is they really came down hard on the third man in rule. Now it's like if you're the third man in, you get kicked out of the game.
Oh wow!
And also, you know, and it can lead to like, you know, the league kind of having your name down and you're like a bad guy. But it used to be the third man in rule was the way to protect everybody, because I'll just make an example. Say not a goon, but just say a guy takes Crosby and rams him into the boards. And then Crosby and the other guy, okay, hey, let's go. But the other guy's definitely tougher than Crosby. Not definitely tougher, but it's a fighter and isn't as valuable to the team as Crosby. Well, then player C, third man in, could come in, jump the other guy, and then those two could fight.
Whoa.
But now it's very looked at. But now that guy is not allowed anymore. The third man in is now kind of barred from hockey. And it's caused a lot of problems.
Wow. Okay, yeah, there seems to be, there's this whole angle of the aggression and the fighting, and I know it's part of it, and I'm just trying to get a grip on how other people get involved.
Well, I mean, it's a very emotional game.
Yeah.
I mean, see, that's why I love it so much. That's why I love hockey so much, because you're saying you're a Packer fan. See, in football, everybody hits. So yeah. It's not like a big deal. Well, everyone hits. That's what makes hockey so special, is you have to want to hit. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be in you. Yeah. And it also separates the men from the boys in the playoffs, is like defensemen have to take the hit to make the play. Uh-huh. It's real easy to see a big guy coming at you going, oh, I don't care, throw the puck willy-nilly.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be a great
stand
defenseman,
there and do it.
You have to take the hit and get
but
the
puck. But that's kind of like the receivers going across the middle, and it's like they go up for the ball and they stretch it. They know they're going to get flipped
but
over.
But not
their
anymore.
Head.
They took it out of the game, and that's one of the reasons why I really don't like football anymore.
Get out.
Well, they took all the hitting out of it. It used to be Lynn Swann was a man. He took all the hits over the middle. Now it's like, don't hurt him. He might get a concussion.
Well, yeah, his name was Lynn Swann. He had to be tougher than it's like
one
his name
time
is Swann.
When I was a child, we saw Lynn Swann in a restaurant, and I thought I was in Hollywood. I couldn't believe Lynn Swann was sitting right there. I couldn't believe it.
How'd your father react?
Oh, my dad went right over there. Of course
and
he did.
Did give him a hand job?
I want to ask you a little bit more about hockey. We got to move on. I want to play Shotgun Storyworthy.
Oh, that's true.
Regarding hockey, there's 82 games.
Yes.
And so let's just say they're not having a good season, whatever team that is. They're not having a good season. So why wouldn't they then at the end of the season, if there's 82 games, just like blow the last 20, then they can get a first round draft pick?
Well,
first round draft pick.
For a couple reasons. One, I think you have to still entertain the paying public. Because hockey still gets a lot of revenue from sellouts all the time. And mm-hmm. if you're going to play, AHLers, it's bad for the game. Plus, the one thing about the playoffs is almost everybody has a shot until at least the very end.
I see.
So, but to get more to your point, there's a lottery.
Oh, it's not the lowest team.
No, it's like the lowest.
No, so it's like basketball in that way.
Right. And that's how the Penguins got Sidney Crosby, is they won the lottery.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Can I just ask one question? Not hockey guy, but the closest I come to hockey is the movie Slapshot, which I love that movie. As a hockey guy, do you like the movie Slapshot?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Do you follow the miners?
I follow the miners as much as I see who's killing it in the miners, to see who's going to be in the NHL.
Okay.
Or to see if I see someone sent down, I see how they're doing in the miners. But I literally, it's hard enough to keep track of 30 teams.
Right.
In the NHL.
Okay, so all things hockey, now people can come straight to...
Puck off.
Yeah, you don't have to be mad at me.
And at joebartnick.com, I have a blog once a week, and I do tons of hockey.
Oh, good. Yeah. Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
It sounds great. It's not like Russian roulette, is it?
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
School days. Wow. Well, my favorite school days were the snow days. Then you got to stay in, but it was even better than the snow days was when they called it off the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that the best in Pittsburgh when they called? The worst was the delay. Remember the school delay? That was the biggest F you. Like, how does that help anybody? Like, your parents are mad. They still got to deal with you, and then you got to go in later, and it's just like it just ruins everything.
That was like a 30-second story, but now we get the whole picture of where you grew up and what excited you.
Yeah, no, Milwaukee.
Not going to school.
Right, Milwaukee, we had the same thing, obviously, with snow days. My problem was I lived in a suburb of Milwaukee, which was only a mile square and only had two schools. So, you'd listen to the radio. You remember this?
Oh,
you'd listen to the radio, like, please, yeah. And they'd list a long list. And they go, Milwaukee Public Schools, ba 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 ba, Whitefish Bay, ba ba ba. And they finally go, Sherwood Schools, open. And be like, motherfucker. It's like, because they only had two schools, and there was a tiny place, and they didn't have any trouble plowing the goddamn streets.
I was very lucky because I was in the Babcock School District, and that was at the top because they went alphabetically, of course. And so I always knew, Babcock School District, 2-hour delay. there has been a change, 1 hour delay, right. Anybody, or they just fucked with you right midstream.
Anybody under 25 is listening to this and going, didn't they have an app?
No, they
tell you?
Didn't.
It's like, no, you had to fucking listen to some guy on WTMJ AM.
Right. They made a big deal. Like, we have the most school closings in the city. Like, every 3 minutes they update. You can just tell.
Yeah, traffic
people.
Is every 7 minutes, but school closings
and
every
what
three.
What was your, what school did you go to in Pittsburgh?
Well, I went to Seton LaSalle, which is now South Catholic. Or uh-huh. was South Catholic, now uh-huh. Seton LaSalle. So, yeah, we went by, for that one, but all the public schools we went to, like, it was like
Pittsburgh Public School.
Yeah, that one at Baldwin and at Bethel Park. It was all
Bethel Park School Districts.
Yeah, our parents or my grandparents especially would always play like the they go with the odds. Like, well, if Upper St. Clair's taken off, that's it's like politics. Like, the way Bethel Park goes is the way Upper St. Clair goes. Like, no one wants to break the rhythm, you know.
If it's snowing in Bridgeville, it's snowing in Shadyside.
Right, or just like, you know, like Bethel Park, if Upper St. Clair calls off, then Bethel Park will call off, because they're not going to, you know.
I would like to get that on a loop, just those snow delays, and then at night, you know, just like you listen to the ocean or you listen to, you know, sounds, it would be one of them would just be school delays.
Yeah, right. Guy who talked like this.
Hey, listen, we can't thank you enough for coming today on Storyworthy.
Oh, that was all right.
And finally bringing us a Grateful Dead story. Yeah, man.
Grateful Dead and hockey, two topics we have not covered in
exactly.
the past.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I'd like to thank Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network, and also Anthony. Sean. Thanks for helping us out today, Anthony. And of course, our storyteller today, Joe Bartnick, you guys. Follow him on Twitter, @JoeBartnick. And on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, Hannes, you know that's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
Right, I'd like to check him into the boards. Whatever the hell that is.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny, and I love you.